Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with Gary Brennan in for Niall Boylan. Now, Gardaí have published 99 images of Dublin riot suspects, and we want to know, would you identify someone if you spotted someone you knew? It could be a friend, it could be a relative, it could be anyone. Would you actually shop them in? So this Saturday marks the 1 year anniversary of the Dublin riots. A large crowd carried out the public disorder, which was mainly fueled by anti-immigrant rhetoric. A total of 17,000 hours of CCTV camera footage has been combed through by the Gardaí, and 99 people have popped up on that, five of which have been identified within the last 24 hours. The images have been published on the An Garda Síochána website, and detectives are now asking for the public's assistance in identifying the individuals in the images. So do you think this is the public's job, and would you identify those in the photos if you knew them? Let us know on WhatsApp 087-188-0008. You can also get involved on social media on X at Classic Hits Radio or Ireland's Classic Hits Radio on Facebook. Owen, what do you think of this? You don't think it's going to help?
Well, you know, I actually have the photos open on Garda.ie in front of me, and yeah, I don't recognise any of them.
Yeah.
But there's actually 164 images. For some reason, the guards themselves announced the wrong number, which doesn't bode well for their investigation. And, you know, you mentioned there earlier that it was 163, actually, I'm just at the end of it, fueled by anti-immigrant rhetoric. An awful lot of them are immigrants. Like your man number 144, he's definitely an immigrant.
Well, you don't know that, Owen. You don't know the personal lives of these people that have been identified. You don't know anything about them.
Well, I have the photograph in front of me.
But you can't tell anything from a photograph.
Well, that's what they want me to do, and that's it in a nutshell, isn't it, Gary? You can't tell anything from a photograph, and these aren't very good photographs at all. Especially the ones in the shoe shops.
Well, some of them are fairly clear. Some of them are fairly clear. And the guards have got five people identified since they posted those photos.
One, all right, number 97. He's definitely clear. No, I would imagine he's New Irish. And number 95 is probably as well. But number 94 is absolutely unidentifiable. Anyone who'd stand up in court and say they're identifying number 94 off of that photograph would be very dubiously received by any judge.
Okay, so
you think some of them aren't
as clear as they should be, but I think most of them are. The ones I'm looking at are very clear.
Have a look at 94. 94 is only about 4% of the person's body skin is visible. They have two big, huge boxes, gloves, a hood, and over the hood they have like an anorak jacket, and it's a very, very poor angle. But the next one up, number 97, he's quite identifiable. I'd say if they hung around the mosque there, they'd catch him all right on a Friday there around 12 o'clock, like, you know what I mean?
Right, Owen. Look, whatever about going through the photos, you can't cast aspersions on people's nationality by looking at a photo, but I do want to ask you this question.
That's a very pertinent lead for the guards if they're serious about investigating it.
Well, what I want to ask you is the question we're asking everyone tonight. If you did see someone you knew in those photos, would you ring the guards and tell them that you knew the person?
Well, the photos that are up online, and especially number 23, who's wearing a mask and a hood, right? He might be involved in the attack on our democracy, but the rest of them are just the local gurriers and shop robbers that will be hanging around Grafton Street, over from Sheriff Street and Sean McDermott Street, and all them frequent flyers. And if the local guards can't pick them out, there's something seriously wrong.
Well, that's a point that someone made earlier on WhatsApp. They said the guards would probably know half of these anyway.
There's guards down Store Street arrested this fellow's grandfather. I'm looking at him, number 22. He's been in and out of the courts all his life, and his mum and dad now belong to him. Well, his mum and dad are, God be good to me now, but there's some of these you can know looking at them that they're raised in poverty and houses of addiction. But number 21, nobody could identify him. He's got a big, huge hat, a mask, a jacket, and a jumper, and there is only a slice across his face, there'd be fellas in IRA colour of parties wearing balaclavas would be more identifiable than this fella number 21. Now, I hope you'd pick him out, like, have a look at it there.
Okay,
the guards are doing the best, but some of these are completely unidentifiable. If anyone picked out anyone for number 21 and he got convicted, he's the worst solicitor in Cork in the world. Frankie Bottom would definitely get him off anyway. I can tell you that much for a fact.
All right, Owen. No, you stay with me there. Keep looking at the photos to find us something to talk about there. You're going through them with a fine-tooth comb. I think you're going through the photos better than the guards are.
Half of them, if you hung around the mosque on a Friday about 12 o'clock, you'd catch them. Guarantee you. Look at them.
Do you think that the guards are going to get these people? Do you think they're going to get at least half of them?
I think that looking at some of these, because if you pass any Garda station in the country, you'll see our legitimate immigrants going in and they have to sign their passports or whatever, you know, or they're applying for asylum and they all have to queue up. Even Americans, they have to queue up at the Garda station once a year. From number 56 to number 66, the guards will get all of them unless they're ones of the 26,000 who have deportation orders against them that the guards haven't been able to find. And I think our guards are under-resourced. I think that whole thing, that riot that was an attack on our democracy proves it. I can remember in the 80s when the guards had to defend the British Embassy. And that was a rolling riot for about a week. And there was no riot squad. They only had batons, they didn't even shields, they had no helmets, nothing, and they held the line, and they lost the line that night to a bunch of frequent flyers out of the children's criminal courts. Most of these are the regular gorriers from around Store Street, be down around Grafton Street at night, handbag snatching, and over in Temple Bar selling crack.
So, Owen, you think the guards already know who half these are? Okay, I want you to stay with me because I've got Linda on line too. Now, Linda, you don't think it's going to help, but it's good that the pictures are out there.
Yeah, no, I do think it's great that the photos are out there. Now, the only thing with identifying, I think the people identifying should also be, I don't know, part of the lock-up calls that they're doing, because I think they're a disgusting group of people, and if anybody actually knows them personally and can identify them, you know, I think they should probably be going down with them.
So you think that people involved, you'd hope that they're caught, would you?
Oh yeah, 100% I hope that they're caught.
What did you make of the riots when they happened?
I was in the middle of them.
You were in the middle of the riots when they went down. Where were you?
I was in, you know, Arnott outside there.
Yeah.
And I was coming out of Arnott and it just kind of started happening. So I was able to escalate the situation quickly, but it was just...
Hi, John. How are you doing? It's AJ here from Lighthouse.
Oh, I've lost Linda there. We'll get Linda back because that's interesting. She was actually there when the riots went down. But, I mean, I'm looking at the report today. Over 1,100 statements have been taken and more than 500 lines of inquiry were pursued. And 57 people have been arrested and more than 150 charges have been preferred. 14 people have been convicted at the district court. And now you've got all these pictures put out. So the guards look like they're really going after these people and they want to get them. But as the point Owen was making was a lot of them, you know, probably are already known to the guards, I would imagine. I mean, they're down in town all the time causing trouble. And as we all remember from the riots, it was desperate what happened to the Lewis and the destruction of public property. But there was an awful lot of looting going on. And I suppose opportunists, for want of a better word, going in and stealing things that probably had very little, interest or weren't even following why, you know, people were out rioting in the first place. So it's all a little bit of a mess to wade through. And I'm not jealous of the job the guards have to do on this one. I'm going to go to Anthony on line one. Anthony, what do you make of this? Would you shop someone in if you spotted them on this list of suspects?
Hi, Gary. How are you? No, personally, I wouldn't. And secondly, why did it take 12 months to do this if they think it's a good idea?
Well, they have been busy, Anthony, doing things, but go on.
I did hear a politician saying during the week, we have the most incompetent Minister of Justice in the history of the state, and we have the same Garda Commissioner in the history of the state. The two of them are totally incompetent and not capable of doing their job.
So you think this falls at the desk of the Justice Minister?
Yeah, and the Garda Commissioner. Mm. He's responsible to her, isn't he?
Mm. Yeah.
You know, who does the Minister for Justice, who does the Garda Commissioner answer to? The Minister for Justice. And she's away with the fairies. Ask her a question and she just changes the subject and looks up into the air like.
And have you seen the photos, Anthony?
No, I've no interest in looking at them. And even if I did see somebody that I knew, I wouldn't be ringing up doing the guard's job for them, to be quite honest with you. Because I think it's ridiculous. After 12 months, it's like a witch hunt. Why don't we all go up with pitchforks and lighting torches and march down the street like as well while we're at it? This is going to make matters worse, not improve anything.
How will it make it worse, Anthony?
Well, listening to your previous caller, it stirred up total, it was just total hatred for anybody that was foreign. If I heard masks mentioned more than 3 or 4 times, like, I mean, if that isn't stirring up hatred, I don't know what is, to be quite honest.
Well, as the point I made, Anthony, was...
He was able to say out of 116 photographs, he was able to say about 6 were foreign.
Yeah, well, look, I made the point that you can't identify someone's nationality from a photograph. So
you can't.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
So I don't want to make it into a race issue. I think this is a government issue, and Drew Harris is completely useless. He should never have been appointed Garda Commissioner, and she's even more useless than Minister for Justice. And that's the simple fact of it. And that's why this comes on, this kind of witch hunt now a year later. And I don't know, I was listening to some experts there earlier on, I don't know, was it civil rights or whatever, and they were saying that some of those photographs were people that were just maybe innocently walking by or whatever. And their photographs, isn't there data protection and stuff, like, I thought, under law?
Well, I'm looking at the photos here, Anthony, and I think most of them don't look like they're just walking by. I mean, there's people with boxes of shoes and bags of stuff that they're robbing from shops and things
like
that.
Well, I don't know. I can't comment on that, but I'm just saying what I heard earlier on. I didn't see them, so I can't comment on that. I didn't see them.
I think it's safe to say all of the images show something that's going down that shouldn't be going down. But okay, fine, the riots and that, and you think you wouldn't want to get involved and identify anyone. But if you're watching Crime Call one night and a local shop had been robbed and you see somebody robbing the shop and you know them, would you ring the guards and tell them that you know the person
that's
in the CCTV?
But actually, that's if you see it actually happening, that's different. But other crimes, then they do dramatisation of it.
Yeah, but if you're looking at CCTV footage and you saw someone you knew, would you ring the guards?
Why haven't we got a sex offenders register with photographs of every sex offender in the country? That's what I'd like to see, because I heard 2 horrific cases in the courts there today in Cork. I don't know if you heard them, about 2 married men that raped their wives and raped their daughters and got 17 years. And I'd like to see a photograph of them put up online, for everyone to know when they get out of prison. They won't do 17 years, they'll probably do 12 at the most, and they'll still be young. I'd like to see photographs of them put up online for everyone to be aware of.
Hmm. That's an interesting point, Anthony. Yeah.
How come the government aren't doing that? You know what I mean? I'm not defending what happened in Dublin. I know people got keyed off and they're just... things reach boiling point, and the government should have known it was reaching boiling point. But like I said, Helen McEntee, I'd say, is too busy sitting down filing her nails at home at night. She doesn't have a clue what's going on in the country. Neither do the rest of the government. They're completely useless, and Drew Harris is even more useless. Like, why did it take 12 months to decide this? Whoever came up with this bright idea, like Pinky in the Brain? That's what I call the Minister for Justice and Drew Harris. Pinky in the Brain. What are we going to do today, Pinky? The same thing we do every day.
Well, a couple of people have texted in, Anthony, to say, why did it take a year to get this bunch of pictures together to see if we could identify them? Because Dublin isn't that big. I mean, I know it's a major city and it's big enough and all, but I mean, you can throw 100 photos out and you're guaranteed to get some people who'll know someone, surely.
Yeah, but I know how many people would be prepared to come forward, though.
Well, that's the interesting thing. 5 people have come forward. 5 people have been identified after the photos were released. So that's 5 people that have been sorted. So that'll be an interesting one to figure out.
I don't know. Like I said, I just, the total incompetence of it. And when I heard it this morning, like, it made my blood boil. I said, it took 12 months for this, for them to do actually something, like.
Yeah.
Because I heard the business owner and his whole business, he had a sports shop and it was looted and he lost tens of thousands of stock.
Yeah.
And I thought, he was even saying this morning on radio that he was completely just, why did it take 12 months, throwing his hands up into the air like everybody else?
Yeah, no,
I think the Minister for Justice needs to go, and so does the Garda Commissioner.
Oh, it's a fair question, Anthony, why it took so long. And I think the Justice Minister, we will find out on the 29th of November where exactly that's going to go. So, but I want you to stay with me because I have Patricia. Patricia, what do you make of this? If you saw somebody on that on those photos, would you shop them into the guards and let them know who they are?
No way. And I totally agree with Anthony. He's 100% on the button, and he always is, by the way. I've heard him before
Thank
on
you.
The show, and he's always right.
Thank you.
But the thing is, and the thing with you, Anthony, is that you're honest, you know, and you're saying what everyone else is thinking, because 99% of the country is thinking the same, but they're too afraid.
Thank you.
And the problem is, if you study philosophy, you will learn very quickly that numbers mean a lot more in big numbers. If people are, you know, disagreeing or unhappy or, you know, pissed off with the way the government are carrying on, it's really down to them to break us up, to divide and conquer us. The only time I saw this country ever coming together as one was the water rates, and that's because it affected everyone. I'd yeah. heard people on the radio that were on rent allowance, they're on this, they're on that, they're on the other, and they were like, oh no, we won't have to pay it though, so it doesn't really bother us. When they found out, well, actually it's a utility bill, so you kind of will have to pay it, then they had it stopped. And that is a perfect example that if everybody sticks together, then we can get things sorted and changed. I grew up in London from Irish parents. I went to a private school. I was very well educated. I had a professional job. When I came over here and I married my husband, who was a military policeman, I opened my own estate agents or auctioneers, whatever you call it over here. So I come from a very good background. I'm not from riffraff or whatever it is that people paint get into trouble with the Gardaí. Unfortunately, my husband abused my son and I for about a 20-year period, and that was every type of abuse. In 2016, I found the courage to go in and get a court safety order. Now, for 20 years, I was told, oh, the effing guards won't give an F because I know them all. And I said to myself, well, no, because it's not 1950. My father is from Tralee in County Kerry. My mother is from Kildare. And I said to my father, if I do this, will he have power over me because of the connections? You know, this connection protection or protection connection that goes on in this country for so many years. And he knew about the Kerry babies, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, oh, no, Susan, sure, those days are gone, you know? And I went in and I said, right, well, I'm going to take this risk and this has to work. And I was dealing with domestic violence organizations for years. And I said to them, I am petrified of him because he's connected. So I went in and I got my safety order within 24 hours of him being in a court in front of a judge. This is how much, you know, respect he had for a court and a judge. He sent the first of 32 threats that I got over that 3-year period. I lost my business. I had a breakdown after 2 years because I was petrified. I was told that my body would be chopped into pieces and sprinkled over the Wicklow Mountains. I was told, you better look over your shoulder. I was told, I've got chloroform. I reported all of this to the Gardaí, as the judge said to me. And he said to me, if he says or does anything that puts you in fear, I want you to report that straight away. At one point, after 2 years, when I was too afraid to leave my home, there was a guard in my home. He came around because I said, I need this sorted. I need this man to stop threatening me. I'm losing everything around me. And I've got no money now and I've lost my business. And he said to me, F off and come back when he punches you in the face, because threats are not breaches to a safety order. He said, now I'm going to arrest you and F you into a psych ward to shut you the F up, as most women in this country should be. This guy was 42. This Garda was 42. This wasn't an old man stuck in the old ways.
My God,
and we all
Patricia.
Know about the way women have been thrown into psychiatric hospitals over the years when they stood up to their husbands and said, stop beating me, next thing you're mad, off you go into a psychiatric ward. And they ended up dying there, drooling,
Patricia,
peeing on themselves.
Patricia, when was this?
this was in 2016 when the Garda said that to me. It was 2018. In 2019, I went in to do statements about 9 serious assaults causing harm that I suffered from, one where my spine was fractured. I was told by the sergeant in my local Garda station, which just happens to be near the Curra, which is where my husband was based as a senior military policeman. That statement, I was told, was sent to the DPP. I found out by pure accident, because a very nice Garda, actually, she was from Kerry, she went onto the pulse system. She said, Susan, that statement isn't on the pulse system, so it wouldn't have been sent to the DPP. They destroyed 5.5 hours of my statements of 9 serious assaults causing harm crimes that I suffered, that I found the courage to go in. And I'm from a good background. I'm not a disgruntled, you know, criminal that didn't like the way I was arrested or I was thrown into the cell too hard or whatever. I was a victim of crimes that went into... And this happened in 2019 and 2020. This is not 50 years ago. And it's still going on. And I've gone to GSOC and I gave him the 4 witnesses to me doing that statement. And 3 of those witnesses were actual guards. And the GSOC investigator told me that he contacted all 4 witnesses and there was no evidence whatsoever. One of the witnesses, a detective sergeant, called me last April 2023. And he said, Susan, I was only thinking about you the other day. I was wondering how you are. How are you doing? And I said, well, he said, how did the investigation go with GSOC? And I said, well, you know, didn't he contact you? No, nobody contacted me. I then chased up with the other 3 witnesses. Nobody contacted them either. So the GSOC investigator lied. I have come to the realization in my life, and it's heartbreaking, that you cannot trust any of them. None of them. Helen McEntee knows about this for 6 years. And every time I write to her, she writes back the same thing. We're doing everything we can for domestic violence victims in Ireland. And I'm so sorry, but I can't intervene in this. She can intervene in this. You know, it's serious enough. And I've got all the evidence. And of course, I have no money to get a solicitor. And they know this. And it's like the stardusting all over again. They're laughing at me because they're saying, well, what can she do about it? I can do absolutely nothing about it. And I've lost everything that I had left after 20 years. Nicola Haney went through 2% of what I suffered.
I'm very sorry to hear that, Patricia. It sounds like you've had a tough time.
It's been absolutely heartbreaking because I was always, you know, one of those people that did everything right, you know, went to school, got my job, got married, bought my house, never scrounged off anybody, you know, never did anything wrong in my life. And the guards treated me like this because of connection protection. And that's what I call it. And when I write my book, that's what I'm going to call it, connection protection, because I know I'm not the only one. So when I saw the riots, I'm sorry to say this because it's not me as a person. I'm a very, very good person. I've always cared. I would give people my last pound. You know, I've always cared about people, but it changes you when you have been abused the way I have by the system that's supposed to be protecting you. And they took my words of 5.5 hours and tore them into shreds and lied to me and told me that they were sent to the DPP and they weren't. And then you go, oh, do you know what? The ombudsman is there. They have to be real. If the guards are not real, the ombudsman is real. No, they're fake as well. And every year, last year, they got 11,400 complaints. And that's why people don't like the Gardaí. And I know lots of people that are very nice people, very, you know, good community people, and they feel the same way about the Gardaí. And COVID brought that out as well, because the way they used to treat people, where are you going? You know, there's ways that you talk to people, and they're on power trips, a lot of them. And Patricia, the guy that was in my house that day, yeah?
Patricia, do you know what your next steps are? What are you going to do next?
I don't know. I've been writing to solicitors up and down the country for the past 8 years. And my son has just got a master's degree in psychology that helped him to process the abuse that he saw happening to me for 20 years and also what his father did to him. And, you know, he's 27 now. He's got his master's degree in psychology. And, you know, any opportunity that he ever gets to to be in the circles, he will be speaking out about what the real Gardaí are like and what the real Helen McEntee is. Because I can tell you now that she is not what you see on the television. Because I've spoken to her personally, I've communicated with her personally. She doesn't give a damn. And funny enough, when I found out that the witnesses were not contacted, it was in April 2023, and funnily enough, Helen McEntee was on maternity leave, and Simon Harris wasn't the Taoiseach. He was actually taking her chair. And I had emailed and I said, Helen, this is really serious. I've just found out that the four witnesses that I gave to GSOC were never contacted. And Simon wrote back to me. Now, I have to give Simon that, because I have written to 170 TDs, ministers, senators, MEPs, Taoiseach, president, you name it, and not one person has got back to me. And I've shown them, you know, a small amount of evidence, and I said, I've got a lot more. But Simon wrote back to me, and he said, this is extremely serious. I totally agree with you, and I'll be looking for an inquiry. I've heard nothing since, because she came back a week later, and he was told to shut up, get out of my office, and she wrote to me and said, I can't do anything, even though he was willing to do something as her stand-in as a justice minister. So that means that she could do something. Every time you see her, she's standing next to Drew Harris every time you see her.
Patricia,
you know, they protect each other.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Patricia. I have to go. I have to take a quick break for news, but I'd love to talk to you a little bit more after that, if you'll hang on.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, and maybe Anthony yourself, you'll hang on as well, because we're going to keep talking about this. We're talking to Patricia at the moment. She's got an interesting story I want to talk to her a bit more about. Sounds like she's been through a very tough time of it. But the 99 images of Dublin riot suspects have been released. Would you identify someone if you saw someone you knew on it? Get involved on social media, but call us on 087-188-0008. We'll be back after the news here on Nighttime Talk. Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with Gary Brennan in for Niall Boylan. And before the break, we were talking about last year's riots and the Gardaí releasing pictures of suspects looking for help from the public to identify them. We've been getting loads of calls on that. I've also been talking to Patricia, who has a particularly interesting story to tell us. So we're going to go back to Patricia in just a minute. Later on in the programme, we're going to be looking at an email from a listener who was put in an uncomfortable position on a bus. We want to hear what you think about giving up your seat for someone. We're also going to be talking about a 4-day work week. And in the big interview, I am joined by X Factor star Katie Wiesel, who came into the spotlight in season 7 of the show following the tragic passing of Liam Payne. Katie is calling for urgent action to address systemic failures within the creative industry. So that's all coming up a little later on. I'm going to go back to Patricia, who very kindly stayed with us through the news there. Now, Patricia, before the break, you were telling me about your horrific experience for what you went through in your personal life, and then the problems you had subsequently with, I suppose, arms of the law in this country. I wanted to ask you, first of all, thank you very much for staying with us, but I want to ask you why you think you were met with such an experience from the people like the guards and the law community.
I don't think it's a new experience. I think that these things have been happening all the time. I don't think that they protected my abuser because he was a nice guy. He was just the type of sociopath that collects dirt on people, and then when he needs to cash that dirt in, he uses it. He would have gone to the Lebanon a few times, and there was a few incidences where soldiers shot one another. So they go to a war, and instead of, you know, doing what they're supposed to do when they go over there, they were shooting each other over girls. Irish girls, girlfriends that they had and stuff like that. And he was involved in a lot of those investigations. When anything like that happens abroad, the Gardaí have to go to whatever country the Irish soldiers are in. They're not in charge of the investigation, but they're there as part of it. And if somebody has done something, like in one of the cases, came from a family that has a few businesses in the local area, and his mother was having a breakdown because she said, oh my God, he'll go to prison for what he did to his friend. And they asked if my abuser would put that down as a mistake, a stray bullet, an accident, or when a gun goes off accidentally, there's a term for it. And he agreed. And if you do favours for people, and this is why when we have guards or TDs or anyone like that in that position, they have to be pure white. They can't leave themselves in these situations where they've done something so that if somebody has something on them, they will use that against them and they will get off things. And over the years, people used to come to our home. I'd make tea and biscuits. I'd leave the room and it would be soldiers coming in to see him. because they were caught speeding or drink driving or whatever. And then he would use his connection with the Gardaí to get them off. So it wasn't something that I wasn't aware, you know, that it could have been a possibility if I tried to leave him, which is obviously why I stayed for so long, because I was petrified of him as well. He nearly murdered me several times. But, you know, we were stuck in that position. Me and my son got through it. We're here today. The hardest, I would say the last 8 years was nearly worse in different ways than the 20 years of abuse that I suffered, because you grow up. My father's uncle was actually a chief superintendent, and he was sent from Cork to Limerick back in the 70s when there was an awful lot of things going on in Limerick. And he was there for 15 years, and he cleaned up the place. He ended up in Dublin. So I'm not anti-Garda. I don't come from an anti-Garda family.
Yeah.
But when that happens and you grow up to believe and trust people like police and guards and stuff like that, there's no way, you know, that you would expect this to happen. And it's soul-destroying. Like, you know, I can't find the words to describe what this has done to me, apart from losing my business and everything else. They're material things. But having that trust broken and then actually saying, well, here's the evidence. Let's talk about it. I said to the sergeant who took my 5.5-hour statement, when I found out that it had gone missing and was never sent to the DPP, and I said to him, I want a copy of my statement. And he looked in my eyes and he said, you never did any statement with me. And I looked back at him and I said, you got me a pint of water in a Smithwick's glass halfway through doing that statement because I was so upset. That wasn't me. And he looked in my eyes and he lied. And, you know, when you've been with an abuser, you're kind of used to gaslighting. And even that had an effect, that had an effect on me, because I was like, did I do a statement? Yes, you did. I phoned my friend before I went in and I phoned her when I came out. You know, there were three guards that are willing, and one of them is a detective sergeant, willing to stand up as witnesses that I did that statement. You know, and it's soul destroying. You know, well, I won't leave Patricia, the house when it's dark because I'm afraid.
Thank you. You were almost questioning if you'd done it yourself. You know, like it must be incredibly frightening to be put up against that.
Oh, totally. It's absolutely, honestly, I have no words that can effectively describe what that kind of behavior does to you. You know, I've had people that have died from cancer young and stuff like that, and nothing touches what this did to me. You know, the people that were supposed to be, you know, against the criminals that are there to sit and listen to you, to take all this down. And, you know, I see women on television now and, you know, their partners are going to prison for 10 years for 2% of what he did to me. And he's free and he's laughing at me. And it's not even, you know, if they had approached me and said, look, we effed up, we made a mistake, which you can't just lose 5.5 hours of statements, 9 serious assaults causing harm in full detail. You don't lose that, okay? If they came to me and said, look, we messed up, how can we put this right? But they've built the whole bigger and bigger. They've done it with the safety order, by allowing him to breach it 32 times, 24 hours after the actual safety order hearing. That's how much respect he had for the judge and the court. You know, not once have they come to me and said, can we talk about this? They just treat me in this gaslighting, hysterical, abused woman. You know, the only thing they haven't done is actually bring me to the psychiatric hospital in St. Mullingar and put me in a corner and medicate me, you know, like they would have done years ago. But it's only a step away from that. But it's soul destroying.
You could get your head around it if you came up across, I suppose, one bad egg, for want of a better phrase. But what you're telling you're telling me sounds almost like, you know, there's plenty of people that know the truth and are just denying what's in front of their eyes.
Sean O'Friel, you can ask him, ring him tomorrow. He knows the full story. Well, he tried to help for 2 years.
Patricia, I was going to say we have to be very careful with names on the show, you know.
Yeah, okay, but he was the only TD that actually tried to help me. The rest of them just ignored it. Claire Daly gave me a solicitor who strung me along for a year, and he did nothing. He was just there, and he was from the north with a northern accent as well. And, you know, they just cover for each other, and they hope that I'm so broken and so destroyed by the abuse I've already suffered, and then the abuse for the past 8 years and what they've done to me, that I will just shut up, and that I'm getting to an age, hopefully she'll just die soon, and hopefully the stress and everything else. It's if you watch the Stardust documentary, I could feel every word that those people were saying of what it feels like to be ignored. You know, but they had each other. My son and I, we only have each other. You know, and as I said, Sean O'Friel tried to help, and he wrote to the commissioner, and the commissioner told him to keep out of it because he was of a political background and he had no position to involve himself. Everyone has a position to involve themselves. The Taoiseach has a position. The Justice Minister has, if it's serious enough, and my case is serious enough, but they're just ignoring me and ignoring me. And as I said to my son today, do you know what? I'll probably be in my late 70s, hopefully, if I live that long, and they will eventually address it, because that's what they do. There's a kind of a time frame of around 20 to 40 years that they leave something before they actually, you know, deal with it. And then you need people standing beside you that are saying, now, listen, we're not going to hear any rubbish. You know, we didn't come down in the last shower of rain. And as I said to that sergeant that day when I said to him, you must think I'm very stupid. And he said, oh, you're far from stupid. And he picked his finger up and he pointed it in my face, because he knew that I wasn't going to just walk away from this, you know, and it takes so much out of you. And if somebody told me this particular story that I'm telling you, I would not have believed it before 8 years ago. I wouldn't have believed it. You know, even the stories that you hear about the Kerry babies and stuff like that. I admit, I said, but what was that girl doing having a baby and hiding it in a shed? You know, I was trying to find ways to explain that it wasn't the guards that were involved in this. And of course it was, because the father of one of the daughter, I think, that had that baby that was found on the beach, he was a guard and his two sons were guards. So that's how they covered that up, and they tried to pin it on Joanne because she had recently had a baby, and they even had an expert willing to go into court, and Anthony probably can remember this. I don't know how old you are, Anthony, but they had an expert coming into court to say that it is actually viable that you can be pregnant from two different men with two separate babies.
I remember that into court. And I lived in Carrigrohane, yeah. Actually, would you believe? And when I brought up the topic, I lived there for 2 years. And when I brought up the topic with the local natives, it was just like, it just changed the subject. We never heard of this thing. And I saw baby John's grave smashed up outside the cathedral countless times. So yeah. I know full well what you're talking about, Patricia. And I think it's disgusting as well. And what you have to highlight as well, Patricia, remember our old Garda commissioner and how she ended up. Well, she resigned, and our new current Garda commissioner, and when Frances Fitzgerald was the Minister for Justice, and listening to your horrific case, you would think, like, people would say, oh, well, a man would only do that. You would think you were dealing with two female ministers for justice during your time, which are horrible times.
Exactly.
And they gave you no justice whatsoever.
And that's another thing. That's a kind of a fake thing. That's a fake thing as well, because women say to me, but surely, Susan, if you're telling the truth, Helen McEntee is a woman and a young woman, so she would be on your side, surely. No, she's more misogynistic than any misogynistic man I've ever come across in my life.
And what about Frances Fitzgerald?
And as I said, I've got personal dealings.
And what about Frances Fitzgerald before her?
Exactly.
I said, what about Frances Fitzgerald before her? And Noreen Sullivan, the previous Garda commissioner.
I want to come in there for a second, Anthony. I want to see. Are you surprised by Patricia's story?
I'm not, to be honest.
Honestly.
No, I'm not. I'm horrified by it because she sounds like an absolutely lovely woman, but I'm not. I'm not surprised. I'm horrified that she didn't get justice after all these years, and she probably never will. But you know what? I don't know what we can do. Like, I mean, she is totally incompetent as a Minister for Justice. Frances Fitzgerald was even worse. The current Garda Commissioner is not worth a waste of time. The previous Garda Commissioner got a great job in Europol. And she crawled out on from under her stone, and she was on the radio again at the weekend. And I woke up on a Sunday morning, and I said, am I hearing things or something? Am I after dying and I come back to life or something? So, you know, they're amazing. These people don't care about anyone, only themselves and their own career and their own ego. They don't care about anyone. They pretend to, but they don't.
I feel so stupid for being naive.
They don't care. They don't care.
The system and trust these people, because that's what you're brought up. My parents brought me up, you know, to respect the police, respect, you know, this person, that person, the other, the priest and everybody else.
Patricia, just before...
And I worked for the government. I can tell you, I worked for the nuns. And I can tell you, I saw a lot of stuff that I didn't believe could happen in the new century. But it's still the same.
Okay, Anthony, listen, I'm going to have to leave you there. Anthony, I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm going to have to leave you there because I just want to say to Patricia before... Thanks for that, Anthony. You were great tonight. Patricia, I just want to say to you before you go, we've been getting in hundreds of text messages of people asking after you and saying what a great woman you are and how strong you sound. And I have to endorse that myself, because you sound like a very strong woman who's been through an awful lot. And we wish you all the best in hopefully...
I'm not strong all the time. I can tell you that I have days where, you know, it's very, 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 very difficult to keep my head up.
I can imagine.
But I'm determined. I will get this exposed. I will get it. And I don't care how many years it takes, because I think the people of Ireland need to know what is going on, because they laugh. They know that people like me can do nothing about this. We don't have, you know, hundreds of thousands to go to solicitors. And anyway, solicitors, half of them are part of the same pie as well. So, but it has been extremely difficult. And, you know, people don't believe you because they're so shocked. They're like, no, that can't be. No, she can't be. You know, there must be something more to it. And, you know, this, that and the other, because they can't grasp it, that this could happen in this day and age. And I think this is a perfect time, you know, while they're going around. I mean, I wouldn't see Helen McEntee in my neighborhood, because she knows where I live and she would not knock at my door, you know, and I wouldn't think it would be safe for her to knock at my door. I'd be holding my son back and he'll be holding me back. But, you know, this is a time when people need to know exactly what is going on. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. There's lots of other situations like this where people just give up and they just say, do you know what? I can't do anything about it and I'm just going to have to leave it. But I can't do that. And it's like when I saw the documentary about the Stardust victims, and one woman said that her husband said, we have to let it go, otherwise I can't be with you. And she said, I can't let it go. And some of us can't let something like that go.
Well,
you know,
Patricia,
we have to fight. It's just in our nature, you know.
Well, Patricia, you're an incredibly brave person, and my hat is off to you. And I do hope there's brighter days ahead for you. And thank you so much for sharing your story tonight. I know it's hard and I really do appreciate it. I know we all do.
Okay.
Good
all right, thanks very much. Thank you.
Look after yourself.
Take care.
Thanks, Patricia. Okay, we're going to keep talking for another little while about this. The release of the pictures of the people involved in the riots. We want to know, would you tell the guards if you recognise someone in that list of photographs? And we've got Bernie on the line. Bernie, you don't think it's your job to do so, do you?
No, I don't. I actually think there's enough of our photographs on numerous databases in Ireland that they can trawl through. That's their job. I'm not going to grass on anyone. That's not my job. And I feel that if they want to catch the people, do it correctly. And I feel like the passport office has a photograph of all of us that have passports. Your driving license now carries a passport. Some gyms carry photographs of the clients. So you know, so they can easily get the information that way themselves. I don't feel it's my job to do it.
But Bernie, what if you've committed a crime? You know, do you not think as a citizen you have a duty to identify the people? If someone's committed a crime and their picture is listed on a Garda website, do you not think you have a duty as a citizen to report that person if you know them?
This was a different, to me, person. I feel that situation, the riot situation, was something that outside of public control, it was heightened trouble. And this happened, and this does happen in other countries. It's the first time I've seen, one of the first times I've seen it in our own country, where riots like this had gone out of control. And I don't know how other people deal with these things, but for me personally, I would not think it's my responsibility to dob somebody in it if I saw a photograph of somebody. because there's other ways of getting information on people. Like they have this AI going around anywhere you walk in a city. They can pull up all these pictures and identify people fairly fast. That's what we're led to believe as a citizen.
Well, if you're, I'll just because say this to you. No, I hear you, Bernie, and, you know, it's a fair point. But say you're an owner of a small business in the city centre and it was looted and ransacked by, you know, five or six people, and the Gardaí asked the public in their help for identifying the people involved in that particular incident. As a shop owner, you know, who's struggling business, who it cost them a fortune, maybe lost their livelihood because of it, wouldn't you want the people to stand up and stick up for them as opposed to sticking up for the rioters?
Yes, I see. I take your point on board. However, I still feel that there is another avenue the guards can use. Like, you know, if they pull up at your car and they say, they can tell you now when they pull down the window, you're so-and-so, your car insurance is out, your tax is out and your NCT. They have all that information already on their system. And we were led to believe that all this information is on the system. Isn't this how they look after us and police us? So I'm sure all those people that are on the photographs, I only caught a glimpse of them on us this evening on the news. I wouldn't be able to identify anybody from the photographs that were up there. And I don't know, maybe an anonymous if you want to be anonymous. I don't know, to be honest. It's not something I would ever have had to deal with before in my life.
Say you were watching Crime Call one night, Bernie, and you know the way they do these CCTV from around the country, and you saw someone you knew robbing a shop. Would you ring the guards and tell them?
Well, I think you can give them the information anonymously.
Anonymously, yeah. Ring the confidential line. Well, anyone can do that with
the
these as well.
Confidential line.
Yeah, people can do that. Well, but you would do it.
If there was a confidential line and there was no chance of a repercussion for myself, maybe I would. Yeah, revisit it. But at the moment, I think going on the news and, you know, throwing all this up on the. Television is, I just felt, I actually was shocked that they did it that way, because I thought they had all this information naturally about us all anyway, because you have to give so much of your information to everybody today. And, you know, you're told it's for training purposes if you ring somewhere now, and everything is all recorded. So I assumed that all the shop CCTV, that they'd be able to troll through that, match up all the photographs of, say, somebody with brown hair, brown eyes, and if they as much identification that they could muster, that they could troll through systems to find it. Without going to the public, to the media, to the public, to get their information.
Yeah, I don't know. What technology the guards have. You know, it sounds like a bit of a James Bond movie to me, like putting pictures in to cross-reference them with everybody in the country. But I don't know. Maybe they're able to do that. But they've gotten a few of them. I mean, there's no doubt the guards have been busy all year on this particular incident. But I think these are the last of it, and they just want the public's help with it. And that's why we wanted to ask the question tonight. But I haven't had anyone calling in yet or even texting in to say that they would actually go to the guards and say, yeah, that's my cousin, or that's your man that drinks down my local, or that's the fella that runs the chipper.
No, because I don't feel it's my response. I feel as a responsible citizen that's their job. I mean, they wouldn't come across and do my job, you know. That's their job, and that's their responsibility to keep law and order in the cities and in our towns and in our villages. That's their job. So if they have ways of dealing with this, that's part of their remit. It's not part of the public's. It's our responsibility to be lawful citizens. And when you're not lawful, they have the backup there. That's what I feel. Because they have so many databases. You go for everything now. You know, you go in for a blood test and you take a photograph of you.
No,
you know,
I hear you.
Everything
hear you,
is online.
Yeah.
Huh?
I know, I hear you, absolutely. I'm sure my mug is all over online. It's everywhere. Even I get a fright.
Yeah, so, you know, what if somebody mismatched or cross-referenced and was wrong? Do you know, like, they have all the personal information. They have everything. You know this.
Yeah.
Everything you ring up now, even for a bill from Vodafone, they ask you for your date of birth. You know, what was your mother's maiden name? Like, there's so much stuff that everybody has collected on us.
Oh, they know everything about us, Bernie.
Surely there must be a database.
They know everything about us.
Exactly.
But listen, I'm going to have to leave it there, Bernie. Thanks a million for your call on that.
Not at all.
It was interesting talking to everyone about that one. Nobody's going to shop anyone in, it seems. They've got five of them. So we'll see how well the guards do with that one. But it seems that we're a country of, I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know her. So we'll see how they get on with that.
Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.